Simon Estes has performed in the world's greatest opera houses, but these days he's spending more time in high school auditoriums. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song.
Simon Estes is planning to give concerts in all of Iowa's 99 counties in an effort to introduce students to classical music and to share his voice. He's also sharing his voice with Iowa students in other ways. He's a distinguished professor and artist in residence at Wartburg College and a distinguished artist in residence at Iowa State University. Today we'll talk about his career and the focus of his life today, helping people, particularly young people in Iowa and South Africa. Join our conversation after the news. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Charity Nebbe. World-renowned opera star wasn't a likely career path for an African-American son of a coal miner born in Centerville, Iowa in 1938. But Simon Estes has a voice that could not be denied. He has sung in the world's greatest stages, but now he spends most of his time working with students and helping young people around the world. And he is with us today to talk about his work. Mr. Estes, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Let's go back to Centerville, Iowa, when you were a child. When did you first discover that you could sing?
Well, I think it was in elementary school, of course. I was asked to sing a solo once in the Second Baptist Church in Centerville, but I didn't realize I was going to have a classical voice or an operatic voice, but I was aware that I could sing in elementary school.
Did you even know what a classical voice and opera music was then?
No, I really didn't. Charles Kellis, who was a teacher, came to the University of Iowa back in 1961, and I was singing in the old Gold Singers, and I started taking voice lessons with him. And he was a gentleman who introduced me to it. He said, you know, you have a voice to sing opera. And I more or less said, what's opera, having come from Centerville, Iowa? And he loaned me some recordings of some of the great opera singers. And I listened to them. And I remember I took them back to him. And I said, you know, I really like that stuff. And he said, well, I think you should go to an all-musical school. So he arranged for me to audition at Juilliard School of Music in New York City. They gave me a full scholarship. I got a Rockefeller grant. And that was when I really was aware that I had a classical voice.
How did your family react to the idea that you would be a professional singer?
Well, when I told my mother I was going to, because at the time I was at the University of Iowa studying, and I was working at Collins Radio, as it was called back in those days, in the late 50s and early 60s, she was a little reluctant because she didn't know about opera, nor did I, and I was going to go out to New York City, to this big, bad city, and she was concerned, but she said, you know what, son, if that's what you really want to do, you have my blessings, because I was a professional student at the University of Iowa, changed my major four times. I started out in pre-med, and then I was interested in theology and social psychology and music, but ended up with music. But she gave me her blessings. My father had already passed away, so she was very happy. And then after I won the bronze medal in the Tchaikovsky competition in 1966, and she was invited to the White House by the then sitting President Johnson. From that point on, she thought it was all right that I was an opera singer.
It sounds like you had a modern educational career at the University of Iowa. I know many students who followed the same kind of path, changing from major to major and searching for what they really want to do. Was that unusual for your time, since your family, you know, you were the son of a coal miner and here you were pursuing a college education? Was it hard on your family that you couldn't quite find your niche?
You know, it really wasn't. My father passed away in 1961, and I started college actually in 56 at that time called the Centerville Junior College, and then I transferred to the University of Iowa in 57. My parents were just happy that I was getting a formal education and a college education, so they were not concerned, and I feel very blessed in a way because they didn't put any pressure on me when I kept, you know, kind of changing back and forth my majors.
I know that many of our listeners are familiar with much of your work on the world stage, and you had a fabulous career in many of the major opera houses all over Europe and all over the United States as well. In 2002, you took a job at Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa, as a distinguished professor and an artist in residence. What made you decide at that point in your career that you wanted to be in the classroom and working with students?
Well, actually, I started about 2 years before that, or 3 years at Iowa State University, when President Jiske at that time asked, would I please come on the faculty. I thought many times before that that I would love to share with young people at various universities and really all around the world the knowledge that I had received from having sung with all of the world's greatest opera singers, all of the major opera houses, as you stated, all the world's greatest conductors and orchestras. I'd been doing it for, at that time, 30 years. Now I've been doing it for about a little over 46 years, because it's been an honor and a privilege to have sung with all these great conductors. I mean, most people know the name of Leonard Bernstein or George Schulte and Zubin Mehta, Lorne Mozell, some of these people who have been with American orchestras. But I just wanted to share with the students what it's like to be an opera singer and singing in different languages and learning how to act and accepting the responsibility of using these very special gifts to the best of their abilities.
Working with music majors at universities, of course, most of them at least have some familiarity with opera. What kind of level of knowledge do you find among the students that you work with?
Well, in that, we don't really have a lot of opera here in Iowa. Their teachers work with them. Of course, I do also. They sing certain arias, or as we might say, songs from operas, and they like it very, very much. At Iowa State and Wartburg, each one of these institutions, every year they do scenes from operas, and sometimes they do a complete opera. And it's wonderful for these students to get a chance to perform in classical music. As you may or may not know, there have been studies done that they find out that young people, when they are introduced to classical instruments and classical music at a younger age, generally speaking, they do better academically in school, and they are involved in far fewer juvenile delinquency problems. So it's has many positive aspects about it.
Now, of course, you're working with a fairly self-selecting group of students, students that have already decided that they're interested in music. Do you find that their interest and knowledge of classical music is pretty deep, or are they just exploring?
Some are exploring, and others, I would say it is deep. They really want to try to pursue a classical career and sing either in opera or do music, whereby they will be singing with philharmonic and symphonic orchestras throughout the United States. And others just want to get a degree in vocal performance. They would like to perform. Some want to go into Broadway musicals. And so it's kind of a diversified group of students that I work with in most of these institutions here in the state of Iowa.
What do you do with the students?
I work with them on their diction, because I've sung and know languages like German and French, Italian, Russian, Spanish, and, of course, English. I work with them on a role preparation or preparation of songs, on interpretation of songs, on being able to sing not only musically and technically, but the importance of singing from their hearts, their souls. This is so very important. Sometimes in academic atmospheres, we have a tendency to just dwell only on the vocal technique, which is vitally important. But we forget the natural part, and that is that singers must always enjoy singing and sing from their hearts, because that's what really touches the audience.
Do you get a chance to work with students one-on-one?
Yes, I do. At Iowa State, I work with basically all of the students in the voice department, and the same thing at Wartburg College.
When you get into a practice room, or I don't know where you work with the students, but when you get into that room one-on-one, what do you talk to them about?
I talk to them about, first of all, if they really want to be a classical singer, or if they want to sing Broadway musical, the musical repertoire, that they really are dedicated to this. And then I give them my opinion as to whether or not I think they have a voice for opera or other types of music. And we have a one-on-one, and usually the lessons are about 50 minutes. And as I say, I am very busy, because I work with all of the students. I also do master classes at both of these institutions, where they have the whole classes there, and then I work with them on their performance skills, how they carry themselves on the stage and how they move on the stage. And when they're performing with a pianist, the importance of acknowledging the accompanist, even though, in quotes, they are the soloist. So I work with them on all facets of being wanting to be a performer.
Do you find that the students are a little bit awed by you?
Well, you know, I still am a humble kid from Centerville, Iowa, kind of an old kid now, I guess. But I have not lost my roots in the importance of humility. So The first thing I do when students walk in for the first time, I tell them, I do not want you to be nervous. Now, many times I'll ask them, from where do they come? And some might say, oh, Des Moines, Iowa. I said, and I should be more nervous around you than you me. I'm just from a little town in Centerville, Iowa. I want to put them at ease. And then I must say I feel very blessed. Most of the time they really are. And they say, you know, I'm so happy to have met you because it's easy to work with you and easy to sing for you because I don't feel that I'm any better than anybody. I've just been very, very blessed, and so it gives me great joy to be able to work with these young people.
You have a new album that you've put together at Wartburg College of some of your favorite songs, and I want to talk more about the album in a couple of minutes after the break, but first, I'm going to play one of the songs from the album as we go into the break. Before I play that, can you tell me a little bit about how you chose the songs for this album?
Well, the first song is Save the Children, Save Their Lives. That's a song that I just sang last month at the World Cup in Johannesburg, South Africa. I sang with at the grand finale of FIFA's concert, their big gala concert. And my choir from the Simon Estes Music High School in South Africa, they sang that song with me. The words in the text, I tell everybody, I really want them to listen not only to the melody and the music, but listen to the text because it's very powerful. And so all of the songs that I have chosen, which are Negro spirituals, Broadway melodies, hymns, and of course this song, the title of the album, Save the Children, Save Their Lives, most of these songs have a message about children, about humanity, about hope, about dreams. And I hope that it will touch many people's hearts, but that's why I had it. And incidentally, I recorded it at Iowa State University. Michael Lee, Motor Head of the School of Music, got together an orchestra, and we recorded it at Iowa State.
Well, let's listen to some of Save the Children, Save Their Lives, and we can talk more about the song after our break.
Child standing there, he's a world apart. When he turns around, he has a broken heart. Everything inside of him shows within his eyes, and he looks at you and you just want to cry. Save the children, save their lives. Everyone knows you and I. And save the children, save their lives. All we need to do is try. Save the children, save their lives. Everyone knows you and I.
Save the Children, Save Their Lives, sung by Simon Estes. That's the title track from his new album. I'm talking today with Simon Estes, and you can join our conversation in a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. My guest today is Simon Estes, world-renowned opera singer. He's also sharing his talents with students at Wartburg College in Waverly and at Iowa State University in Ames, and with many students around the state of Iowa and around the world today. Thank you again so much for being here. We were listening to the title track from your new album, Save the Children, Save Their Lives. And can you tell me where that song came from?
A lady in Switzerland about 25 years ago wrote that song for me, and I had never, ever performed it. And when Mr. Blatter, who is the president and CEO of FIFA, that's the FIFA, as we call it in the United States, I met with him in Zurich, Switzerland over a year ago, and he invited me to sing for the World Cup ceremonies, and I thought, what a great opportunity to present this song for as the world premiere. And so that's when I first performed it on July 9th in Johannesburg, South Africa, for the big grand finale FIFA concert. And as I said earlier, my choir from South Africa sang with me, and it's just, I think it's a beautiful melody and a beautiful text.
What was that experience like?
Well, you know, I've had so many... been blessed so many times having sung for many important events, but having sung for this one is probably one of the top ones because more people, as you probably know, watch these world, well, we call it soccer, but the rest of the world call it football games, so than any other event on television, even including the Olympics. So it was a really great honor. And then to have sung for the grand finale concert in the Coca-Cola Dome in Johannesburg, there were more than 12,000 people. It was packed. The president of South Africa was there, and my choir came up from Cape Town and performed with me. It was just the greatest joy, I would say, was these young students from my choir being able to sing for such an event, and then to have had such an incredible reception of a standing ovation after we performed this song there. It was very moving and very touching.
And you call them your choir. They attend the high school that you founded in South Africa.
Yes, it's the Simon Estes Music High School. I founded it 16 years ago. And my choir sang many times for Nelson Mandela when he was president. Of course, I've sung for Nelson Mandela, also Archbishop Desmond Tutu, many presidents around the world, including Bill Clinton when he was president. They sang for him, and it's a private school there, and we're struggling still, of course, financially, but it's really doing quite well. And I brought a number of those students to Iowa many years ago, and they attended many high schools in the Des Moines, Iowa area, public and private. Then some came back and actually graduated from colleges here in the state of Iowa.
And this album you mentioned was recorded at Iowa State, and
yes,
it's being sold locally in both Ames and Waverly and around the state. Why did you decide to release an album in that way?
Well, you know, I want to use some of the funds to provide scholarships at Iowa State University and Wartburg College. And the alumni associations of both of these institutions are trying their very best to get alumni to buy the CD, because I'm going to give a certain amount of the proceeds to each one of these institutions and scholarship funds to help students who need financial assistance. And also I just wanted to, because it's going to be an international album, I wanted people to know what a wonderful state Iowa is and what great educational institutions we have here. And so I wanted to use Iowa, in that I recorded all of the songs in Iowa, as a publicity for the state of Iowa.
You are doing something else in the state of Iowa right now, and that's you have just launched a tour that will take you, at least you hope, to all of Iowa's 99 counties. It's called Your Wings and Roots Tour. How did you conceive this idea?
Well, about 2 years ago, I thought as you probably know, many people, and I'm touched by that, they asked me to do concerts in their towns and cities around the state, and I thought, why not try to sing in all 99 counties and introduce some people who are not familiar with classical music, and also to raise money in each county. What I'm doing in all the counties, I've already done 5 performances. I have another, I think we have about 24 signed contracts now, or approximately 24. We've been contacted by 60, that's 60 counties in the state of Iowa. What I'm doing in each county, I'm giving a certain amount of money that those high schools can choose students to receive scholarships. And since March, I've already given out 9 scholarships. In fact, some of the students are going to come here to Iowa State University, but they can go to any college that they want to go to. And we have photos of all these young students, and we're probably going to be having them in some newspaper articles pretty soon, so people can really see the students that we have helped. So what I do, in each county, we give a certain amount of money to that county, and then the high schools within that county choose some students, and then they're interviewed by Paul Ferrone and Kate Christian, who are working on this Roots and Ring tour. Paul Ferrone is the director of the tour. And then they interview these young people, and then we present the scholarships to them.
What do you do at those concerts in the counties?
I do a mixture of music. I do use at least one operatic aria. Then I do some songs, some Broadway melodies, and some hymns and gospels, because I want to do what we call meat and potato music, songs that people are familiar with. And in each concert, I bring a student or students from Iowa State University, Wartburg College, and I'm going to be letting people know at other colleges around the state of Iowa and universities, if they have some students who would like to participate, then we'll be delighted to do that. And also in each county, they form a county choir made up of high schools, and the choir performs with me also, so that each community, they can have some direct involvement in these concerts. And then the students from Iowa State or Wartburg College will get a chance to start using their voices and hoping that in the future, what we really want to do down their line is to be able to provide employment for these young, talented Iowans who can make a living by actually singing concerts in these cities and these counties. And therefore, they will be making a contribution to the economy, and they'll be getting they'll be able to earn a living in an area, because these are usually vocal performance students. They get a degree in vocal performance or piano performance or whatever the answer may be, but they don't get a chance to perform. And so what I'm wanting to do is to introduce these young people to the people in the state of Iowa, and then when they graduate, as I said earlier, they'll get a chance to earn a living by singing or playing an instrument that they studied at one of our colleges or universities. So it's kind of a multifaceted tour.
It sounds like you are working very hard these days. You know, you've had this fabulous career. You could be enjoying retirement at this point. Why are you working so much?
Well, you know, I feel God has blessed me with many gifts for which I thank him for daily. I'm a deeply religious person. I pray and study my Bible every day, and I thank God for all the gifts. And I feel that we're all put on this earth to really help one another. And I've said many times, no child was ever asked to be born. So therefore, I think we adults who are fortunate and blessed have a responsibility to help them. And so I just, the word retire, as we mean, use it in the world, meaning, you know, stop working. That actual word's not even in the Bible. The word luck is not in the Bible. And so we're supposed to get rest once in a while, which my wife worries because she thinks I don't get enough rest. But I do try to get enough rest. But I just am happy to keep sharing with these young people what I have learned in having really performed all around the world and lived in these countries of different languages, different cultures, et cetera, et cetera. It's all been an education for me and with me. And so what I want to do is share it with these young people.
You can join our conversation. I'm talking with Mr. Simon Estes today. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, and you can send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're going to take a break here in just a couple of minutes. But before we go to the break, I want to play another track from your new album. Let's hear Every Time I Feel the Spirit now.
Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain my Lord spoke, out of his mouth came fire and smoke. Jordan River, chilly and cold, chill the body but not the soul. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. All around me looks so shine, ask my Lord if all was mine. Ain't but one train runs his track, it runs to heaven and runs right back. Oh, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart.
Simon Estes singing Every Time I Feel the Spirit from his new album, Save the Children, Save Their Lives. He's my guest today on Talk of Iowa, and you are welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and my guest today is world-renowned opera singer Simon Estes. He grew up in Iowa, and he has come back to Iowa and has invested a great deal of time and energy into the students at Iowa State University and Wartburg College and students all around the state of Iowa. And Mr. Estes, we have many listeners who are eager to talk to you, so let's talk to Suzanne from Grinnell. Hello, Suzanne.
Oh, hi. Yes, thank you for all your efforts and being so patriotic to Iowa. I just wondered whether you had plans to extend your program. I know that we're facing all these cutbacks in the individual districts for the grades for arts education and music among them, and I wondered whether you had any plans to help that, because if we don't have students able to study music in the lower grades, there won't be the students for those scholarships in the future.
Yes, I have addressed that with a number of people, and this is something that we're going to continue to look into because I remember earlier in the year when we thought we were going to have to lose many students in art and music, or teachers in art and music, I was devastated by that. And so it's something else on my plate that I'm going to look into and hope that we'll be able to help. Because one of the reasons, as I said, I made this CD is to help raise money for scholarships in Iowa State and Wartburg College, and then the counties can choose, and those students can go to any college or university they want to go within the state of Iowa or even out of the state of Iowa. But to address your direct question, it's something that I am working on. I've already spoken with individuals about this, and I hope we're going to be able to help because I want to make sure that art and music stay alive because they are vitally, vitally important to the well-being of our students' overall education, and even internationally speaking, is very important.
Suzanne, thank you so much for your call. Do you have advice for parents or maybe teachers who want to introduce the children in their classrooms to classical music but don't have access to a music teacher? What do you think is a good way to do that?
I think what we need to bring back, they used to have in the old days, music appreciation. That's a course that one could take. And you would listen to good music. I think we need to introduce young children to classical music because there's so many melodies that they hear, but they don't realize it actually comes from an opera. For example, you know, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, that comes from one of Richard Wagner's operas, and many melodies by Rachmaninoff that we can introduce to young people, and they hear this music, and I can honestly say, whenever I have introduced classical music, whether it's with words or without words to young people, not one single student has ever said, oh, I don't like that. They'll say, oh, wow, that's beautiful. I've heard that before. Oh, I didn't know that was from Beethoven or Mozart or Bach or Verdi or Wagner. I didn't know that. So we need to introduce them, and I think it would be really great in our high schools and even elementary schools if they could even spend 10 minutes during a music class each day of listening to some beautiful, beautiful classical music because it's very good for their minds and their souls. So that's something else I think is very important.
You were in a terrible accident about 5 years ago where you were hit by a runaway van in a very strange freak accident while you were getting your tires changed one day. And I'm wondering how you are physically today.
Well, I still have trouble with my right knee and my right shoulder. I even went to Mayo Clinic. I saw doctors in Waverly, and they said I should have surgery. They thought maybe on my hip, too, but my hip seems to be a little bit better. But I decided not to have the surgery at this point because I've spoken with so many people, and over 95 or 98% say don't get the surgery until you just absolutely have to have it. So I walk with a limp sometimes, and I cannot lie on my right shoulder at nighttime to sleep because of the pain I have there. But I am surviving with it and just grateful that I'm alive.
How did that experience change your outlook on life?
Well, it made me realize we take so much for granted in life. Not only each day we wake up when we don't have any pain, most of us, we never think to thank God for a day without any pain. And I've been healthy my whole life, I say again, with gratitude. And when that van hit me about 40 miles per hour, the police said, and knocked me up in the air, and I landed back down on a cement floor in a garage, I realized how quickly one can actually lose their life because when I was hit by this van, I never saw it coming or anything, and I will never forget the noise that was made and everything that it made me realize, I guess, to do as much as you can, Simon, while you're still alive because you never know when you might be taken away.
I know that these injuries have made it far more difficult for you to perform. You can't stand for long periods. You can't do the grand gestures that are required in an opera performance. Has it changed your voice?
It hasn't changed my voice at all. And most of the concerts I sing now, I sit because, as you stated, when I stand a long time, my knee will get very stiff. In fact, it's even swollen now. But and I can't do the gestures. So it really more or less has basically terminated my operatic career. But I still am able to sing with orchestras and do recitals, for which I'm very grateful.
John is on the line in Iowa City. Hello, John.
Hi, Charity. I have known Simon 40 years this year, And I want you to know that I've never known a harder working, kinder, and more generous person than Simon. But anyway, I wanted to ask Simon about his injury, which you just talked about. I was shocked to hear about it a few years ago. And I also would like to ask about our mutual friend, his teacher, Charles Kellis, and how he's doing.
Well, I just spoke with Mr. Kellis yesterday. He's in New York City. He's still teaching voice privately. As I stated at the beginning of this program, he's a man who discovered me. He taught at Juilliard School of Music. I was teaching at Juilliard maybe, I don't know, 25 years ago, and I just didn't have time to give as much as they wanted. So they said, could you get someone who would teach the way you would? And I said, well, what about my voice teacher? So Mr. Kellis taught at Juilliard for about 20 years. He's over 83 years of age. He's in very good health. He had a quadruple bypass and then 10 years later a triple bypass, but he's still hanging in there. He's got lots of vim and vigor. And I speak with him constantly, and he's teaching privately, and he's one of the greatest teachers in the world.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. John, thank you so much for your call. We have Sherry on the line now from Grimes. Hello, Sherry.
Hi. I was wondering, with all of the international travel that you do, if you have seen a need for more cultural education within the state, and if so, would you be willing to be a spokesperson for that?
Well, I'd be delighted to be a spokesperson for it. Culture is very important. It's just ways in which different people live in different countries. And that's one aspect in which I feel very grateful, because having lived in all these countries, whether it's all of the countries in Europe, let's say Russia, China, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, South America, you name it, it's been such an educational experience for me. And that's why I think traveling is very important, that we can go to a different country and see how people live. They might live differently from the way we do, but basically we're all human beings, we're all children of God, and we are just products, not victims necessarily, but products of our environment, our culture in which we grow up. It might be a different language, a different way of preparing food, a different way of wearing clothing. All of these aspects is what makes really the world interesting. So I would always be delighted to talk to people about the different countries and culture, and stress the importance of diversity and how we can take diversity and make it into something that will bring us all together.
Sherry, thank you so much for your call. And Mr. Estes, I know that we need to let you go in just a couple of minutes, because you have students waiting for you today. You are doing so much, and you have created a life for yourself where you can reach out to so many people in so many different ways. Is there something that you hope to accomplish in the next few years that you haven't quite been able to do yet?
Well, I've sung over 100 roles in opera, and as you stated earlier, it's true, I've sung I don't know how many different orchestral works. What I really want to do now is to really help so many students here in Iowa through this CD. What they can do, they can contact people who want to purchase a CD. By the end of this week, they will be in most, let's say, stores around the state of Iowa and on the campuses at the colleges. But they can also just get in touch with Paul, that's P-A-U-L, Paul at S-E-I-E-F.org. That stands for Simon S.S. Iowa Educational Foundation, Paul at S-E-I-E-F.org. And we hope that they will purchase this CD, because what I want to do for the rest of my life is to try to help as many young people financially in the state of Iowa and my school in South Africa to get an education without having to struggle so much because of financial needs. And so, as I've stated to many people, once you're past 72, I say you're on borrowed time anyhow. And in that I'm past 72, I'm on borrowed time. So I got to work fast and hard to help as many young people as possible to get a good education in the state of Iowa.
And the CD is called Save the Children, Save Their Lives. We're going to listen to another song from that CD in a moment. But before I let you go, I want to read you an email that someone just sent us. They say, this is from Paula and Stuart. And they say, the impact that Dr. Estes has had on his students cannot be overstated. Our son was a bass in the Wartburg Choir for 4 years, and Dr. Estes literally opened up the world to him. He sang at Lincoln Center, Juilliard, Kennedy Center, a European tour, and a week at Dr. Estes' school in South Africa. These experiences have enriched Andy's life and helped make him the wonderful teacher that he is today. Thank you, Dr. Estes. This is from Andy's grateful parents. That's what they say.
Well, thank you, and thank Andy and his parents. I'm deeply touched, and That's why I'm here. You know, to hear something like this from this young man and their parents, it's very humbling. And I just thank God that he continues to use me to help other children.
Well, Simon Estes, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you and have a great day.
Simon Estes, his new CD is called Save the Children, Save Their Lives. And in a moment, we're going to be talking to Saul Shapiro, who's the Director of Communications and Marketing at Wartburg College in Waverly, about some of the work that Simon Estes has done at that school. But before we get there, let's listen to another song from Save the Children, Save Our Lives.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And an old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a
Simon Estes singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, from his new CD, Save the Children, Save Their Lives, a CD of music that was recorded at Iowa State University and is being sold locally from Iowa State, from Wartburg College, to raise scholarship dollars for both of those schools and for many of the other programs that Dr. Estes is working with. And with me on the line now is Saul Shapiro. He's the Director of Communications and Marketing at Wartburg College in Waverly. Hello, Saul.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. I know that Simon Estes taught at Iowa State University for a few years before he joined the faculty at Wartburg College. How did that relationship come about?
Well, Simon was invited here by our president at the time, Jack Oley. And I think Jack and Simon had talked about, Simon could do to help further appreciation of music and choirs in Iowa, and they hit it off, and we were fortunate that Simon not only joined the faculty here, but is making his home in Waverly.
How do you think that his presence in the music department at Wartburg College has impacted the school?
Well, when you have a national treasure on your staff, it's a tremendous bonus. And I think Simon, as you could probably tell from your interview, is an extremely dynamic individual. And so when you have somebody of his caliber, and you also have a nationally recognized choir, it really enhances the draw for students to come to Wartburg. And he's also appeared in a number of shows at the school and performances when the choir has gone on the road.
Wartburg is a fairly small college. How large is the music department?
Well, the music, it's not just the size of the music department. It's the percentage of kids on campus that perform in music. We have an enrollment of approximately 1,800, and 600 of those students, regardless of majors, have performed with the music program, either in choir or in orchestra, one of the ensembles.
Simon Estes has been there since 2002. How much of an influence do you think his presence has been on the decisions made by music students about whether they go to Wartburg?
Oh, I think it's just being, in his presence has to be a big factor. And we also have an outstanding choir. He sings with the choir a number of performances. He sang with them during their tour this past spring in Tulsa. And so there's other instances where he has not only on an individual basis, but also on a group basis, enhanced Wartburg's visibility, and I'm sure has been a key point in some students making the decisions to come here.
Has the music department grown since his time there?
We had Paul Torkelson, who was nationally known choir director for a number of years, 25 years. So we had a pretty well-established department before Simon came. But I think having somebody of his stature just makes it all that much more impressive. Choirs had on tours had great write-ups in Washington Post and other publications. And then when you have a Simon Estes, makes a difference. I'll give you one example. Simon performed with a choir in Chicago's Symphony Hall, I believe, in 2006. And the event caught the attention of the director, I think, of the Czech National Orchestra. And they were invited to sing with the Czech National Symphony Orchestra in Prague in December 2006. So that's one example of where Simon really enhanced the ability of the choir and those students to make an outstanding appearance in Prague.
Some of the proceeds from the new album, Save the Children, Save Their Lives, will go toward a scholarship fund at Wartburg College. Can you tell me a little bit about the particular scholarship that these funds are to go to?
I can't give you any specific numbers on the scholarship and what it's raised. We have a number of music scholarships that we offer, and certainly it enhances our ability to attract outstanding people who are interested in music and the choir.
Do you know if this scholarship will go specifically to students who want to be classical singers?
I really can't tell you the specifics about that scholarship. Sorry.
That's just fine. So Waverly is a fairly small community. What kind of buzz has there been about Simon Estes moving to town in Waverly?
Oh, it's paid dividends. Waverly is a town of about 10,000, which is probably a lot larger than Centerville, where we grew up. But still, it represents a comfort zone for Simon. A couple of years ago, to measure his impact on the community, we had devastating floods here that covered downtown, and much of the residential area came up almost to the doorstep of the college. And Simon was instrumental in organizing a benefit concert then called the Voices of Hope Concert. And it pretty much packed Newman Auditorium on campus. And the concert itself, with free will donations, raised about $11,000, but with matching donations from CUNA Insurance Group and Thriven Financial, actually raised more than $33,000 for flood relief. So, and also raised money for the Waverly Shell Rock United Way. So he does these types of things on his own initiative, such as his Roots and Wings tour that have a tremendous impact locally and also statewide.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Saul.
You're welcome, Charity.
Saul Shapiro is the Director of Communication and Marketing at Wartburg College in Waverly, where Simon Estes teaches. And we're going to go out today with another selection from Simon Estes' new album, Save the Children, Save Their Lives.
Enchanted evening, you may see a stranger, you may see a stranger across somehow you know. You know even then that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted evening, someone may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room. And night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Alex Hoyer. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. We're going out today with Some Enchanted Evening from the new album from Simon Estes, Save the Children, Save Their Lives. We had production assistance today from Lindsay Moon, technical support in Ames from Michael Yeager. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at all times at iowapublicradio.org. And you can send us email anytime at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.
And make her-